Welcome back to God Books, the podcast where we talk to booksellers from all around the world. And welcome to this short Christmas series meant as a mini advent calendar to get you in the holiday spirit. From December 3rd to December 17th, we'll be publishing an episode every Monday and Friday. That's 5 Christmas episodes for you, in which we're bringing back some of the booksellers that we know and love from past episodes, so they can tell us how they're preparing their bookshops for Christmas, what books to get for the special people in our lives, and what they like or maybe don't like so much about the holiday season. Today we will be going back to Kapellens Forlag, a bookshop that I'm sure you remember from our first season. And if you missed that episode, do go back and give it a listen. It's a conversation I loved, where we even discuss a famous book heist. My guest today is Piel Kapellen-Smith, bookseller, owner of Kapellens Forlag, and now also a publisher. Christmas may not be his favorite season, but he did join me for a conversation about Christmas book shopping, the joys of the holidays, despite their way too capitalistic flair, and shared his perhaps unusual choice of favorite stories set around this time of the year. Here's my conversation with Piel. Hello, and welcome back to God Books. Very glad to have you here again. I want to start by asking you, how are you preparing your bookshop for Christmas? What is happening in your shop in the run-up to Christmas?
Hello, Antonia. Good to talk to you again. In the run-up to Christmas, we don't really do much with the place. I mean, we don't decorate. It doesn't change much from every other day, but we do stock up on some extra books, you know, get some new titles in that we think are interesting. And we have a little skeleton in a sort of a box with earth, and we sometimes put a little Santa's hat on him.
So the skeleton then becomes the Christmas tree then?
Yeah, well, or Santa or something. I don't know. It's the closest we can get to that sort of thing. And also, a few years ago, we had someone translate for us the words Merry Christmas into Arabic, and then we made a little sign that we just put up in the window.
Oh, very good. Why Arabic?
Well, you know, they don't celebrate Christmas, but we thought we'd extend the greeting anyway.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So is it common for shops in your area, in the same area of the city, to go full Christmas, to fully decorate their windows and their shops? Or is it more of a muted Christmas tone?
In the city overall, they go crazy starting November 1st or something. It's really annoying, to be honest. The pressure builds from early November up until Christmas. And you'll see, yeah, there's a lot of decoration. I like when the city decorates the city just for its own sake. Nobody is, you know, trying to profit. It's just to make it nice. I like that.
So you mentioned that one thing you do is you try to stock up on certain books, right? I imagine these are books that you know or you expect will be better sold over Christmas. Could you tell me what some of these books are that you think will be bestsellers over the holiday season?
No, I couldn't really. There's a few new titles and a few old titles, and our stock changes from year to year anyway. It's not like we have some classics that we know sell particularly well in Christmas, but people will come into the store more in December than any other month. So we just try to have a little of this and that for them.
And what are the books that you're going to be recommending most this year, this December?
Oh, that's easy. We just published our third book a couple of weeks ago. So a friend of mine and myself have started a new publisher, and it's, of course, a collaboration with the bookshop. So we have just published a 328-page retrospective on a great Norwegian artist called Christian Blum. And we just started selling that one. So that's obviously what we're going to be recommending to anyone that walks into the shop.
That sounds really good. So is this the first book, you said, or the third book that you're publishing?
Yeah, we've done the conversational lexicon in two volumes before.
Right.
And that was leather bound and all of this. But this is a different thing. It's an art book. So it's full color and it's quite different from the other ones. High quality and excellent reproduction. So we just really want to share this, the world of this artist, with as many people as possible.
Okay, so for whoever comes to your shop around this time of the year, this is the book they should expect to be recommended the most.
Absolutely. It's called Bloom 2016 to 2020, and it's book of the year.
Very good. Now, I also have a list of six people or six personas, more than people, that I might be looking to buy book gifts for this year. Maybe not me, maybe other listeners have similar people in their families. And I was wondering if you could help me with this shopping list. So I'm looking for more targeted recommendations here. But of course, the book that you just mentioned could also be maybe a blanket recommendation for them all. But still, if we were to shop for, let's say, our history fanatic uncle, what should we get for him?
For your history fanatic uncle, I think a good choice for him would be a book called The Secret History of the World by Jonathan Black. Do you know it?
No, I don't. Can you tell us more about it?
It's world history from the beginning of time up until now, but only viewed through the lens of various secret societies. You get this sort of worldview and history that's been very hermetically sealed in small cults and with occult leanings and that sort of stuff. And Black has just researched it all and then put it all together in one volume. So you can see the entire timeline of our world through the lens of a few minorities, or in most cases, secret societies. So that should be a good one.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good one, because there are quite a few books out there about, you know, the history of the world through different lenses, but this is a very particular lens, so it sounds really good.
It is. It's a very interesting entry point.
Very good. Okay, that's definitely going on the shopping list. Next up, I have a science-loving niece. So if you imagine, I don't know, a 12, 13-year-old girl, very passionate about science, what might she be into?
Well, 12, 13 might be on the early side, but I think, you know, if she's into science, she's omnivorous and she'll eat anything. I think any book by Oliver Sacks is an excellent way to start reading any science-related stuff, because he has a great way of making it accessible to people. His writing is great, and you can always come away with something new, no matter what the subject is.
So
get her something by Sacks. Yeah, do I? The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat is the first one I read, and I do love that one. There are anecdotes in there that I've been repeating for 25 years. So that's an excellent place
to
start.
That's a good one to start with. Perfect. Then I have also on my list here a fun-loving cousin. So any fun-loving person we have in our lives, someone who might want to read something more lightweight, more fun, what book would you recommend for them?
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. I think I'll go with one of the classics. And, you know, if you mean by fun-loving, you mean humorous, then A Confederacy of Dunces is an obvious choice for someone who hasn't already read it, because it's just laugh-out-loud funny in places. And the characters that exist in that world are so funny to follow.
Perfect.
So that'll be a good one.
That sounds like a good one just to start with. Next up, what would I get for a grumpy dad?
Well, you know, that's a good thing about the previous recommendation, because you can also give a grumpy dad A Confederacy of Dunces, because grumpy people, if you want them to be less grumpy, usually there's a bit of confrontational therapy in this book, because no one's grumpier than the main character in A Confederacy of Dunces. So once you see that, you might gain a new perspective and be less grumpy yourself.
Okay, so we expect him to be less grumpy by the end of the book then, not more grumpy.
No, I would expect so, yeah.
Very good. What about for a less grumpy mom? So maybe instead of less grumpy, we could even say cheerful. You know, someone who's always in a good mood, in a Christmas mood, what would we get for her?
That is a good one. Less grumpy mom. I'd like to say she should get the retrospective of Bloom the Artist, but you know, that's not widely available, so I'm going to have to go with something else. I don't know, I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's hard to shop for happy people, yeah, and it's easier when they have a problem.
It is. Can I just say Confederacy of Dunces to her as well, and then we've sorted that. I like buying bulk gifts, just get the same stuff for everyone.
Very good. And finally, the last persona on my list is probably the most difficult one to buy for. In case we have someone in our lives, and most people do, who never likes any gifts, never seems to need or want anything, this impossible to shop for person, what book would you recommend for them?
I don't think I'd recommend a book. But that kind of people, you can't win if they don't like gifts or they have trouble enjoying things in life. It's usually the case. It's usually more widespread than just gift receiving. So I think you should give them a statement gift. So I'd give them a pair of socks.
That's great.
I might even try to make them myself just to make sure that the point gets across.
So handmade socks. All right.
Yeah, one pair.
One pair. Or just one sock, maybe, in case you don't.
Hey, that's even more to the point, actually.
Perfect. All right. So shopping list sorted. Thank you for helping me out with that. I have just a few more questions, and these are more related to how you feel about Christmas and what you're going to be doing over the holiday season. So I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite story set around Christmas?
First off, I'll have to come clean and say I'm not a big Christmas guy. I like the holiday aspect of it, and seeing my family is nice, which we usually manage to do. Other than that, I'm not a big fan, but one Christmas story that I like just for it being kind of contrarian is Sir William Burroughs' story, The Junkie's Christmas. Do you know that one?
No. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, it's about this junkie who's trying to score heroin, and he came out of jail, and he's got real bad dope sickness, so he needs to find a cure for that, but he can't find it. And then he ends up getting some morphine from the doctor, who sees that he's in a lot of pain. And then he goes to a hotel to shoot up, and there's someone in the next room who's in a lot of pain. He goes in there, and it's this young kid. He's got some kidney stones or something like that. So this junkie, Danny, he ends up giving him his morphine. And now he's back where he started, and it's not going to be a good Christmas for him. But when he comes back into his room, by some act of God or Christmas miracle, he gets the full rush of heroin, the full sensation. And he kind of concludes that he's scored for the immaculate fix by doing something selfless for someone else. And I think it kind of puts everything on its head, and yet it's still true to the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, it's quite optimistic, despite the beginning there. I thought it would be a very sad story, but it turns around.
No, he comes out all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's definitely a very original choice of a favorite story set around Christmas. So thank you for that. You said you're not the biggest fan of Christmas, but what is your favorite thing to do at Christmas? Is there any activity or anything in particular about Christmas that you do like?
Yeah, I do like watching the kids. That's always nice. That frenetic energy and all high on sugar and gifts running around. They think it's fantastic, and that kind of rubs off a little, you know. But my favorite moment on Christmas Eve, when do you celebrate? Is it 25th or 24th?
25th usually.
Okay, because that's in Norway, it's 24th, it's Christmas Eve. So there's one point in the evening that I always enjoy the most, and that's you've eaten everything you can eat, and we don't give, adults in my family don't give each other gifts, which is a gift in itself because it takes away a lot of the stress of December, you know. But the kids are playing with their gifts, and you're full up with food, and then just lying down on a sofa or somewhere, have a cup of coffee and a cognac, and just, you know, watch the joy of the children. That's as good as it gets for me.
Yeah, that is definitely the best part. And it's a bit sad that joy from childhood maybe goes away with time. But it's definitely something that can rub off on adults a bit.
Yeah, you know, you can vicariously experience it through your children. Unless, I know a lot of freaks, Christmas freaks, that go crazy and always will. So we're all different, I guess.
Absolutely. And what is it that you don't like about Christmas? Why is it not your, it doesn't have to be your favorite thing, but why don't you like it?
I mean, I don't go in for the religious aspect of it at all. Also, the new religion, capitalism, is really, really loud, you know, in those last 2 months of the year. which I think is just, it's noise. I wish I can do without that noise. It's always there, but it really gets high pitched and irritating around this time. I think that's the worst. I mean, and just general stress. There's a lot of stuff you have to get done, and it's busy, but not necessarily in the good way until you've done it all, and then you can kind of reap the reward. That's fine. But it is, yeah. There's a lot of stress and a lot of noise that comes true. With this season.
It can come with a lot of pressure too, especially around gift giving. And I think it's a nice tradition you have of not giving gifts to each other among adults, but just giving them to children.
I heartily recommend it. I mean, it is a gift you can give. You can lower your shoulders and not think about it. And I'd rather have that than something I don't need or want anyway, you know?
Yeah, I like that approach. I think I might adopt it. So what book are you going to be reading over the holidays when you put your feet up and you have finally maybe a few days off from the shop? What are you going to be reading?
You know what? I am going to be reading The Secret History of the World, because I pitched that earlier and I haven't read it myself. I've got it right here, lovely hardcover edition that'll fit right in my lap. And I thought, yeah, that's I've had it lying around for years. This Christmas, I am actually going to read it.
Well, you pitched it very well, so I think it'll probably be a good read.
Maybe there'll be more of them under the Christmas trees this year.
Yeah. And finally, my last question, you mentioned, you know, Christmas being a good time or a good season for children, and they get so much joy out of it. And I told you earlier that I'll have a little girl coming in a week or so, and I plan to read something to her over Christmas. Now, it's a good time to read whatever I want because she won't understand anything. She'll be a few weeks old or a week old. So what is the one Christmas story or non-Christmas story that you think I should read to her for her first few days on Earth?
Yeah, well, first off, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That'll be exciting. As I said, I'm not really big on Christmas, so I haven't internalized a lot of these stories. Also, the Scandinavian tradition tends to be really dark. We have stories about the homeless children freezing to death in the snow on Christmas Eve and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't really recommend it. Don't know why we tell those stories still.
Yeah, that story was actually picked by another bookseller I interviewed for these episodes as her favorite story.
Yeah, the girl with the matchsticks?
Yeah. So it is popular. And I also remember it from my childhood as being a story that we read a lot.
Oh, so you read it in Romania?
Yeah. It's very famous in Romania. Okay. Yeah, even though it's quite sad, but it is a very beautiful story.
Yeah. Oh, then it's traveled more than I was aware of. Well, you know, since she doesn't understand anything anyway, you can tell her the story. But then again, she is this year's Christmas story, isn't she?
That's true. She's the main event for sure.
So. Yeah. So maybe you could come up with make up a story that includes her, and you can build on that for years to come.
That's a good idea. Maybe we'll do that, and we'll write it for her, and then read it to her, and then read it in the next years as well.
Yeah, that you just keep adding to it. That could be a fun way to do it, I think.
That could be something. Great. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything that you would like to add, maybe for the people coming into your shop in the run-up to Christmas or now these days? Is there any message you have for them or any Christmas wishes?
Absolutely. To all the people who might stumble into the bookstore in December, I would like to tell them, relax. It's going to be fine. They're going to find everything. It'll work. Also, we have this great new book out by this artist called Christian Bloom. And the book is called Bloom 2016 to 2020. You should really get that for your grumpy dad.
And they can only get that in your shop, right? So they have to come by.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can order it in our online store, but we do prefer physical spaces. My main message would be to not let it stress you out too much.
That's a good message, and we'll end on that. Thank you very much, Bill, for your time today and for coming back to God Books. And I hope you have great holidays.
Thank you, Antonia. And good luck with the birth any minute now. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, the last in our series of 5 Christmas Advent calendar. With this, God Books will take a hopefully short break to enjoy the holidays and to welcome my daughter into the world. It's a bit difficult to say exactly how long this break will be, but I will do my best to keep it short and come back here soon to bring you more stories from the world of books and bookshops. Until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy a good book.